Hey folks, it's Mike from Profiling Evil. I've been studying criminal behavior for more than 40 years, and one of my favorite research tools is Truth Finder. It's online, and you're not going to believe the information stored there. So if you want to know more about that new neighbor, your babysitter, or your online date, give Truth Finder a try. I'm including a special link below with special discount pricing, but you got to click the link and enter EVIL10 at checkout. Now, we're an affiliate, which means we get a small commission, but you can cancel at any time.
Well, a former Idaho State Police trooper is accused of shooting his wife to death because she was moving on with her life. Now, he says she was depressed and she killed herself. Stick around, and I'm going to tell you 9 reasons why I think he pulled the trigger. Hello and welcome to Profiling Evil. 58-year-old Daniel Howard is facing a jury of his peers right now as he stands trial for the murder of his wife, Kendi Howard. Now, prosecutors are saying that he killed her because she was seeing another man and she stood to gain half of all of their assets in a pending divorce. The couple had decided it was over. In fact, on the night she died, he says he was downstairs working on divorce papers. Now, this case has some interesting physical, forensic, and behavioral evidence that I'm going to outline in a little further detail as we go through this one. So please, folks, make sure you're hitting that like and subscribe button, that you're ringing the bell, and that you're sharing Profiling Evil with all of your friends. And I want to just remind you that CrimeCon's coming up in May, first part of June. I hope you'll go over to crimecon.com and sign up. And if you register and put in the keyword Profiling Evil, you're going to get a special discount. Now, the victim in this case was found lying in a bathtub filled with water mixed with the woman's blood. She had a gunshot wound that entered her mouth, and the gun had DNA on it that was hers. Not the defendant's in this case, but her DNA. So one important fact is she was alone in the bathroom, and he, according to him, was downstairs filling out divorce papers. Keep it in mind, she was alone in the bathroom, and this is all according to Dan Howard. Now, Howard told police that he heard a thud upstairs. Now, he must not have thought very much of it, because he just remained downstairs. In fact, he stayed downstairs for another 2 hours after he heard this remarkable thud that he remembered and testified to. 2 hours later, he walked upstairs, and when he went into the bathroom, he found his wife lying dead in a bathtub full of water and filled with blood. He called 911 to get help. And this is where I want to pause for just a second and ask you ladies, if you're going through a divorce, you're estranged from your husband, are you going to go into the bathroom and bathe where someone can just walk in, or are they going to have to break down the door because you've locked it? Now, remember, he says he called 911, and I want to state that one more time. He called 911 to get some help. He didn't go in and pull Kendi from the bathtub and start CPR like he'd been trained as a state trooper. He didn't even drain the water or do anything else to try to provide some kind of comfort or anything. Instead, he went downstairs to meet responding officers, and there he sat and waited. Now, investigators weren't buying Howard's story from the get-go, but it would actually take almost 2 years before this case was presented to a grand jury and now goes to trial. I met with Michael Ayala on Court TV today to talk about this case a little bit further. Now, the trial's underway, and the state seems to be doing a convincing job, in my opinion. But I want to lay out 9 compelling reasons why I think this is a case of murder, not suicide. So I'm going to leave it up to you to decide if Daniel Howard is guilty of murder or if Kendi Howard committed suicide. But I want to start out with that claim that he makes that Kendi was so depressed and suicidal, struggling with an addiction problem, and other things that were depressing her about her physical condition, that he believes she decided to commit suicide. when we look at the victimology, and if you remember victimology, it's this study of the victim, I learned that Kendi was pretty conservative, and she shared with a friend who actually testified later today that Kendi was really conservative about her looks and her body in particular. In fact, she shared that she just wouldn't want to be seen naked or without clothing on. She told her friends that she was unhappy in her marriage and that she was excited to begin a new life for herself. And there are suggestions that she also talked about abuses that she was experiencing. With all that said, Kendi, according to the friends and coworkers, I might add, was optimistic about her future. She was purchasing a brand new home. She was going to move away from her ex-husband-to-be, and she had a new boyfriend. Now, both of these facts were known to Daniel Howard, and it caused arguments within the marriage, even though they were openly discussing divorce. So let's just pause long enough for us to catch my comments that are rather short on Court TV as Michael asked me why I think the evidence in this case is so important.
Yeah, and Mike King, in this particular case, that's one aspect of trying to show this jury that suicide is unlikely in this particular instance. But there are a number of physical manifestations in this case that suggest the very same thing.
Yes, I have to keep going back to the idea that if we looked at this case just purely from a circumstantial point of view, there are some really interesting things happening. Number one, she's making plans for the future. She's planning for cosmetic surgery. She's planning on buying a home. She's found a boy that she wants to get more serious with. She has things that tell me she's focused on a bright future. The other thing that really troubled me in this case that we keep kind of skipping over and not talking about is that the forensic and physical evidence continue to line up in a pretty interesting way. We just had this friend testify about how uncomfortable she would be seeing her body exposed. A woman like that isn't going to kill herself and leave herself unclothed in a tub.
Yeah, again, and the stuff about the gun, why if someone who doesn't like guns, who doesn't want to deal with guns, use a gun to kill themselves, all those things begin to add up.
All right. Let's retrace some of the things that really stood out to me in this case. First, I want to start out with the night Kendi died. Remember, she's upstairs taking a bath and he's downstairs working on divorce papers. I'm sure that that would make you a little angry anyway. Now, Daniel reported hearing a thud upstairs. Such a big thud that it must have really sunk into his mind. He didn't say he heard a gunshot. He said he heard a thud. Now, this trained police officer only heard, again, what he describes as a thud. But we know that she was shot. He didn't say he heard a gunshot. And yet, I think the case is going to show that Kendi, according to Daniel's testimony, was alone in the tub and shot herself. So this one-time rangemaster for the Idaho State Police didn't hear a gunshot go off just above him. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't believe it. And I don't believe that if he heard a thud that was so violent that he actually made mental note of it, that he would wait 2 hours to go upstairs and check, finding his wife dead. The other thing that bugs me is it doesn't appear that he made any resuscitative attempts. And that leads me to the first fact that I think points to murder, not suicide. And I'm going to rely on a lot of the notes that the deputy coroner reported when she walked in and saw Kendi's body. First, the body was discovered in the tub, but the bath mat was wet. Now, I think there could be several explanations for this, and I think some people are jumping to conclusions on it. One might be that she actually got out of the tub and went over and got the gun to kill herself. Or another might be she got out to go to the bathroom. Or somebody who was wet was outside of the tub and that mat got wet. Regardless of any of those possible scenarios, I find myself reflecting again on the testimony of Kendi's friend about her concern about being unclothed. Is this the kind of person that's going to commit suicide and leave her body to be discovered in that kind of a way, unclothed, and in what she considered to be really distasteful. And I keep going back to, would she bathe with an estranged husband who she didn't like and leave the door open? Doesn't make sense. Now, reason number two is that Kendi was located in the tub by responding officers and the coroner. But the thing that was interesting to me is that she was located in the tub. Now, this means that Daniel didn't pull her from the tub and attempt life-saving measures, CPR or anything else. He didn't drain the water and try to figure out what was going on. Didn't climb in there and get completely covered with water as he was trying to help her. None of that happened. Reason number three, the coroner records that Kendi's hair was smeared across her face. Now, this could be rather benign, but keep in mind the action that's required to smear hair across the face. And I don't know which way, if it was left to right, right to left, I don't know. But that could be really significant if we're trying to envision someone outside of the tub manipulating that body. And I think it's going to become more important as we uncover a few more interesting physical and forensic pieces of evidence. But just think about that action of what would cause the hair that was bundled in the back to be pulled forward and fastened or smeared across the face. What kind of action would create that? Could it be someone leaning into the tub and positioning the body? And with the little amount of blood there, could there have been much movement after a gunshot into the spinal cord right at the back of the neck? Now, reason number four has to do, again, with that blood that was found in the tub. This is rather graphic, but gunshot wounds can be incredibly gruesome and bloody, especially if the heart is still pumping. And as long as the heart's pumping, the gaping hole that's left is going to be pushing blood out at a rapid pace. Now, the coroner said there wasn't as much blood in the water as would be expected with an injury like this. And that immediately has me wondering, was Kendi's heart already stopped when she was shot? Now, as more information, both forensically and physically, become available, I think we're going to be in a much better position to theorize on this point. But keep in mind whether Kendi would have been alive or dead when shot, especially if so little blood came out, knowing that there is a huge exit wound and it's a headshot, incredibly bloody headshots. Now, I want to pause just long enough to again invite you all to join me at CrimeCon in Nashville, Tennessee from May 31st through June 2nd. If you haven't been to CrimeCon, it is an amazing experience. I'm going to be presenting, and I'll also be there on Creator's Row, so I'll look forward to chatting with you. Now, I've secured a special discount code if you decide to go and register. So when you're registering, and I'll put the links down below, just make sure that you enter the special code Profiling Evil. One word, Profiling Evil, and you'll get a great discount. And while you're there, we'll find some time to get all the Profiling Evil family members together and grab lunch or something on one of those days. Now, let's get back to this discussion on my nine reasons why I believe Kendi Howard was murdered and that she did not commit suicide. Reason number five, and it has to do with the way in which Kendi's body was discovered inside the tub. Now, in looking at the coroner's report, the coroner noted that her head was kind of pointed down and in a right-facing direction. But the blood on her face was going up in the opposite direction, suggesting, keep in mind gravity and what gravity does, suggesting that the body was repositioned and not in the position she was in when she was injured or killed. Reason number six. This has to do with the physical injuries to Kendi's body. Now, keep in mind, the coroner noted that there were bruises on the victim's hands and knees, inner thigh, buttocks, and her inner arms, which also had a thermal burn on them. And that these were determined to be caused on the day of her murder. But the physical injury that really caught my attention, and I am shocked that the medical examiner in the first examination missed it, was that Kendi Howard's jaw was broken. You can just begin to theorize how that might have happened, can't you? I don't think that the gunshot would have fractured her jaw, but that's where we're going to need to see the forensics on it. Now, reason number 7. This surrounds the trajectory the bullet took when it was fired into Kendi Howard's body. Now, the examination showed that the bullet took a downward trajectory through the mouth and out the back of the neck. The medical examiner testified in court that the gunshot wounds that she has examined over her career go upward. And so it makes you wonder, is it possible that someone actually placed the gun in her mouth and fired that, and that they were in an elevated position above her, pointing downward to get that trajectory? Or did she do it herself? And I'm going to look for your comments down below. But keep this in mind. The medical examiner testified that she has never seen a downward trajectory in a suicide. Reason number 8. Keep in mind that Daniel Howard commented that Kendi was struggling with addiction and depression. This is really important because the toxicology report says there was no alcohol, no drugs, no antidepressants in Kendi's system. Now that really makes number 8 extremely important. When supported with the behavioral evidence that we've been talking about, evidence that suggests that she was moving on with her life. Remember, scheduling cosmetic surgeries, purchasing a new home, buying new prescription eyeglasses. All of that makes it really hard to swallow the argument that she was depressed and killed herself. And number 9, there's a lack of blood inside Kendi's airway, supporting the fact that this gunshot wound to the mouth that exits out the back of her neck happened after she was already dead. Otherwise, as that poor woman would try to struggle for breath after being shot, she would have pulled blood and other fluids into her throat, and that would have been recovered. Now, as a bonus reason, since we're talking about blood, is keep in mind that the forensic examination also showed that there was livor mortis. Now, livor mortis or livor mortis, I've heard experts from both sides call it differently, is the settling of blood in the body. So gravity forces the blood to pool. Her blood was pooling in her back. And that location that the blood was pooling is not consistent with her body's location in the tub when police arrived. Bottom line is, livor mortis wouldn't have settled there, proving that this woman's body was manipulated after her death. So I'd like to know your thoughts on my 9 reasons why I believe this is murder and not suicide. And I'm going to be looking for your comments down below. I hope you'll be kind to each other, and I hope you'll really think it through. And then I hope you'll tell me what you would vote if you were sitting on the jury today. Now, folks, remember that you can find Profiling Evil on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you like podcasts, check out our audio podcasts on your favorite podcast platform. I hope you're hitting choir practice on the first Monday of every month. We do it at 8 p.m. Mountain Time. And since I got some books sitting above me, I'm going to just say, think about picking up, let's go over to this side, 2 of my favorites, Deceived, an investigative memoir of the Zion Society cult, and She Knew No Fear. It's a story about the murder of my great-great-grandmother in 1891, and how 130 years after her death, I was able to solve her murder. I think you might enjoy it. I really appreciate all your support of Profiling Evil, and I hope you'll share us with your friends. Thanks so much, folks, and we'll see you soon at the next crime scene. Hey folks, it's Mike from Profiling Evil. I've been studying criminal behavior for more than 40 years, and one of my favorite research tools is Truth Finder. It's online, and you're not going to believe the information stored there. So if you want to know more about that new neighbor, your babysitter, or your online date, give Truth Finder a try. I'm including a special link below with special discount pricing, but you got to click the link and enter EVIL10 at checkout. Now, we're an affiliate, which means we get a small commission, but you can cancel at any time.